So I thought we've touched on it before a wee bit, and we won't look at it for too long, but I thought it was important that we look at imagination. When we think about how the enemy puts more things or stops more things getting into your head than what come in, but sometimes we blame him for what we have going on in here, rather than giving the Lord thanks for what we don't have going on in here. It might be the other way for you, but in Ephesians 3 verse 20 it says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." Think it. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. So he's able to do immeasurably more than you can ever imagine. Now if you know me at all, I have an overactive imagination. But the Lord is able to do immeasurably more than I can imagine. And there are people with much stronger, much better, much deeper and vivid imaginations than what I have. But I'm in awe by the vast riches that we have in Christ. In awe. I think awe should be an onomatopoeic word. I've said that to you before. Because, do you know, like, oh. And it should be onomatopoeic. But anyway, that's just part of my imagination. But the riches that we have in Christ, the riches that are immeasurable, incalculable, inestimable, unlimited and infinite, that is what we have in Jesus. That's what we have in Christ. Every single one of us has that. And I was thinking about it like this. Who's seen Star Wars? The very first one, 1977 shot, right? It's now called Episode 4, A New Hope. It was written in 1977 by George Lucas, right? What an amazing movie. What an amazing story. Do you know the forces between dark and light? Do you know, between, as it pans out to be, the Sith and the Jedi? All this stuff that is going on. Who came up with the idea of Sith and Jedi? Well, George Lucas, obviously. But where does that come from? It comes from his imagination. And do you know where it says in the verse that we just looked at? Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. To him who is able. Able is the same word, dunamai, where we get power. It's the ability to do something. It means to be powerful, able. That's what God can do. He is powerful beyond limit. And he is able without limits. And you look at somebody like George Lucas and his imagination. Incredible. But it didn't just spawn that one movie. How many are we at now? 7? Coming up for the 8th, is it? Or the 9th? Amazing set of stories. Wonderful. And if you saw the last one, was it Rogue One? And you saw how that fitted in with the very first one, which turns out to actually be the fourth one. It's just incredible. And how he had written other ones before and he had them in his mind, but he didn't have the funding to be able to do it, and he thought that one would have been the best. But dunamai is meaning to be powerful, refers to God's ability and what he is able to do, which is above all things. And the present tense emphasizes that God is continually able. There is no end to his abilities. It didn't just happen at the time of creation. It didn't just happen through the miracles that we see going through the Old Testament. It didn't just happen at the time where Jesus arrived on earth. It didn't just happen when Jesus was resurrected and went back and ascended to the Father. And it hasn't just been limited to what he does now. He is continually able. And it's important that we remember that the present tense emphasizes that God is continually able. His ability knows no beginning and no end. It doesn't stop. He's always able. And then it says, He is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And I got to thinking, immeasurably. It means inexhaustible. Immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And we've already looked, imagination is a massive thing. It's huge. And he is able to do an inexhaustible amount more than any of us could ever ask or imagine. And you think of the imaginations of everyone who has ever lived and who is to live yet. And I'm thinking just on, you know, Star Wars, right? Because it's not a true story. And it's made up. But you look at other things. You know, you look at, like, The Lord of the Rings. Something I love. It's great. The imagination it takes to come up with something like... I mean, there are people throughout the world who have learned the rune language out of The Lord of the Rings. And I'm like, oh, you have so much time in your hands. Do you know? Or when you look at C.S. Lewis, when he wrote The Chronicles of Narnia. Incredible imagination. And yet, that is nothing in comparison with what God can do. It is immeasurable. There is nothing we can do. And the thing is that it means more than that. Because it's a compound word and it intensifies its meaning, adding an idea of exhaustlessness, exceeding some number or measure. So it's infinite. That immeasurability, that inexhaustibility is infinite. And we're like, okay, God, it says in your word that you're able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. Well, I've no started asking. And God's like, yeah, I've no started giving. Because that is how much he has and wants to give, quite beyond all measure, to the extent that it is overwhelming, over and above, and infinitely more than enough. It describes an extraordinary degree involving a considerable excess over what would be expected. So what are your expectations that God can do for you? Because there's a considerable excess over what you can expect that he can do for you, and more. That's a lot. Just in case you're not grasping that, it's a lot. It's infinite. It's not like, do you know, you get infinity. Because my kids talk about this, right? And they talk about, but how high can you count? Can you count to infinity? You know, but what about if you get infinity plus one? And it's like, well, that's the point. It's infinite. It doesn't stop. You can't. You just don't have the time to be able to count that far. And there's no a name for the number that you could go beyond. But none of us has got the time to be able to count to that figure. And that's how much God has for us. We cannot exhaust his riches. Johnny and I quite regularly use a term where he's the God of big sleeves. His sleeves are bigger than you can ever imagine. And the riches that can come out of those big sleeves is inexhaustible. It's beyond what you will ever imagine. I hope I'm painting that picture quite clearly enough. It's the picture of what God can and wants to do for us. But more often than not, we limit God by setting our own limitations. So we limit God because of our limitations, because of the confines of what we can imagine. Therefore, we limitate God, and we need to stop it. When it says more than we can ask or imagine, it means that God can surpass what we ask of him. And so think about it. What can you imagine? Realistically, what can you imagine? So, what do we see? If you have seen me doing this analogy before, please do not give it away. But what do you see? I need you to speak up. Please don't give it away. What do you see?
The potential to be an apple pie.
Potential to be an apple pie. So you used your imagination because there's no an apple pie there. Okay, so what else? What else do you see? I like apple pie. So you see an apple. Use your imagination. What do you see? An apple tree. What makes you think of that? Okay. Winston? Say that loud. An orchard. Tell me what leads you to think an orchard. You're a savage. So here's the thing. Each apple has on average, this might blow you away, okay? Because if you think about this long enough, it will. But each apple has on average 10 seeds, okay? Each apple tree in its lifetime grows on average 25,000 apples. One apple has the potential to germinate 10 trees that can produce 25,000 apples each. That alone is 250,000 apples. Multiply that by 10 seeds is 2.5 million trees potentially from that one apple. Is that imagination? Is it imagination or is that reality? It's fact, it's reality, it's no imagination. And so that's reality. And you're sitting thinking, what? From one apple? Do you know, what do you see? An apple. What do you see? An orchard. That's what we have the potential to see from that. 2.5 million apple trees coming from that. Apart from the fact that it's a picture, but... does that blow your mind a bit? Because it's just one wee apple. How much do you pay for an apple? 25 actually works out quite well with what we're looking at. 25,000 apples, 2.5 million trees from 25 pence. It's going to take a while. But who said it would happen overnight? But that, if we use... It took a wee bit of imagination to get there. But it doesn't take imagination for that to happen. Now, there's always the thing that you need to factor in that, well, you plant the 10 seeds, you might not get 10 trees. But if you do it in the right conditions, the chances are that you're more likely to get them than not. And then if you keep doing that, and then all of them produce their average of 25,000 apples, and then every one of them has the full average of 10 seeds in it. Do you know, but, I mean, let's give or take a wee bit. And then it says in the verse, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. It means to ask for something to be given with a sense of urgency and even to the point of demanding. Now that's what the word means. We don't demand anything from God. You're liable to get rebuked. Okay? We don't demand anything from God, but I'm just describing what the meaning of the word is. But the word for asking literally is something to be given with a sense of urgency, and it can be the same word that is used in terms of demanding something. And so, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And it reflects a request of one's will, what we mean to ask for. Our highest aspirations are not beyond God's power to grant. I'm going to say that again. Our highest aspirations are not beyond God's power to grant. What are you aspiring to? What are you aspiring to as an individual? What are you aspiring to as a family? What are you aspiring to as a church or an organization or a company? What are you aspiring to? We are aspiring to a new location. more like perspiring, I have to say, at this point. But we are aspiring to a new facility. Everything has been submitted again. Everything is in the pipeline again. And that opposition that we come up against is real. But I believe that the opposition that we're coming up against is real for a reason. It's the whole scarecrow in the orchard or in the field, because that's where the food is, that's where the fruit is, and the enemy doesn't want us to go into that place where the food is. And so he's trying to intimidate us because he's intimidated. But if we ask of the Lord, now we walked around the building, and thank you for everybody who joined us as we did that in early mornings. But we went on the 6th of August, we went as a church, and 20 odd of us just left, and we walked around the building and we prayed around the building in true Joshua, as in Jericho style fashion. We did that, and we walked around. We didn't have trumpets. But so on the first day, we walked around it. Then for the preceding 6 days, we walked around it again. But on the final day, we walked around it 7 times. And as I say, we didn't have trumpets, but I took my guitar and we worshipped as we walked around. And we're thankful and we praise God that the building didn't collapse. That's not what we wanted. But we wanted the red tape and the strongholds that are around that building to collapse. And we wanted them to be demolished. And that's what we prayed against. But here's what we need. We need you to continue praying. Because we know that prayer has power. And God, I mean, if we go with scripture, you know, it tells, you know, the deepest teaching we know is read your Bible, do what it says. Right? That's hard. Christians throughout the centuries have struggled with the ability to do that consistently. That's the hardest thing. It's the deepest teaching I know. Read your Bible, do what it says. Consistently. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, because at this point I'm like, can I imagine us being in the building? Too right, I can. But that aspiration at this point, and I'm serious, is like perspiration. I'm like, oh man, I'm sweating. When are we getting in this place? But Johnny and I have talked quite a lot. Johnny's one of our directors. Andrew, who happens to be here, is our other director. And one of the things that we talked about in the past, especially Johnny and I, was about you have not because you ask not. And why do we not ask? Do we think we've reached the bottom of what God has for us? Do we think we're at the point now where God's gave us so much and now he's scraping the barrel and it's the dregs of what he has for us? Because it tells us that he is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. So he can do more than you'll ever ask. He can do more than you'll ever imagine. And we need to start asking, because you have not because you ask not. And we need to start asking. Asking, it will be given. Seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. So we need to start doing that. And I want to ask you as a community, as a church, as friends of the Vineyard, that you would do that and you would pray on our behalf. And the thing is this, what I have asked for is nothing compared to the ability of my God to give. I've asked for a cupful and the ocean remains. What you have ever asked from for God is a cupful. I'm talking the wee communion cups that we couldn't find, because yous have been using them for the wee cupfuls of asking, right? They're that size. That's how much we have asked for, and there's an ocean full of what we can ask for waiting for us. That's what we need to ask for. David said in Psalm 23 verse 5 that he had asked of the Lord and his cup overflows. The Lord is longing for our cups to overflow, but they're not going to overflow until we start asking. So we need to start asking. And so I'm asking you to start asking. We have a big God. Let's start praying big prayers. Let's start believing that good and abundant life is for us. Let's start using our imagination as well, because he gave us that for a reason. Now, notice the word imagine. I was going to play the song by Mercy Me. Do you know, I can only imagine what it will be like when I stand by your side. So, do you ever think about eternity? Do you ever think what it will be like to spend eternity with him? And your man who's singing for Mercy Me is saying, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. So when I first gave my life to the Lord, me and my mates would be like, oh, what's it going to be like? What is it going to be like when we end up being in glory and we're with him? Will we be able to fly? That's using your imagination. And then we started thinking about it. Well, it says it in heaven, because we wrongly at that time believed that we would be in heaven for eternity. But anyway, run with us. And so we were like, well, it says that the pavements are made of gold. And so we started imagining this place where we're, you know, Michael Jackson and Billie Jean, he might have had a light up pavement, but we have a gold one. Do you know, we were thinking that. We were thinking pearly gates, and we're like, what will they look like? Will it be mother of pearl, or will it be solid pearl? Do you know, all that kind of stuff. But we started to use our imagination. How often do we tell people off for using their imagination? Oh, you're just a dreamer. I want more people to be dreamers. I want more people to use their imagination. What if Steve Jobs had never been a dreamer? None of us would have Apple products. That would be catastrophic. I tell you, where would the world be? Good. But you, people like him and other people who have shaped society, who have shaped the world so much. Imagination is powerful. Imagination is boundless. You can imagine whatever you want. You can imagine you're healthy, you can imagine you've got a healthy marriage, you can imagine you have a fruitful business, you can imagine you're driving a lovely car. But what I'm trying to say is everything is possible in our own imagination. But we don't want it just to be in our imagination, we want it to be our reality. And for it to be a reality, we need to start asking, because he has got that much there for us beyond what we could ever imagine. And we just need to start asking. Well said, John. That was good. Well done. Brilliant. It's okay. Don't worry. It denotes clear perception, the word for think or imagine. Full understanding, careful consideration, with the basic meaning directs one's mind to a subject. Let's start directing our minds to that one subject or that group of things that we want, that we ask God for, because he has this limitless vastness amount of stuff that is just waiting. His grace and his mercy are no ever gonna run out. The oceans are massive and we're only offering them communion cups of what we've asked for so far. The oceans aren't emptying, they're only getting fuller. And in reality, they are as well. But the word for imagination literally means to perceive with thought coming into consciousness, as distinct from the perception of senses. It might not be something that you can perceive in your senses with the five senses, but imagination is like a sixth sense. You can imagine it, and I don't mean that in a dodgy spiritual thing, but use your imagination. It's there for a reason. It is powerful. The New Age movement uses it all the time. And they stole this principle and they call it visualization. I have to make a caveat here. They stole it. They stole that principle. Who created us? That's not a rhetorical question. Who created our minds? Who created the thoughts that we have through our minds? He created our ability to think. And therefore, who created our ability to imagine? God. And so, let's steal it back. Let's not have the New Age movement running away with these visualization techniques and we say that they're dodgy. Because they're not. God gave us the imagination that we can use that to visualize things. You might have an overactive imagination. I salute you. I think you're great. Use it more. Teach other people how to use theirs. When your kids read and they read out loud, do you tell them off? No, because that's the way you're meant to read. When you sit and read your Bible in the house, do you read it out loud? You probably don't, but you should start, because it was originally read out loud because somebody had one copy. Everybody else listened and they just spoke and had to use their imaginations. And we have kind of stopped our kids using their imagination. And we're just big kids. We need to start using ours more. Oh. I read it somewhere that if you want a successful life, what you must do is change the way you think. And we looked at that for a few weeks last year. But the Bible is true when it says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Now, I'm not saying I'm pink, therefore I'm spam, right? I don't mean it like that, okay? But be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. And if you start thinking you're going to do this, you're going to do that, you're going to do the next thing, you're probably going to go down that route, okay? But be careful how you think, because your life is shaped by your thoughts. And how you think and your imagination are very closely linked. And it's important that we are careful. But I'm going to finish up a wee bit here. Don't let the devil use your imagination. God wants to use your imagination for his glory. He gave you it. C.S. Lewis believed in God. He trusted in God. He didn't always trust and believe in God. But when he came to know the Lord used his imagination to write the Chronicles of Narnia. J.R.R. Tolkien believed in God. He trusted in God. And at a point in his life had a relationship with God. And he wrote The Lord of the Rings. Fantastic. J.K. Rowling doesn't have a relationship with God, but she still has the imagination that was given to her by God, and she wrote Harry Potter. Amazing. Amazing imagination. I'm not saying that what's in it is good. But her imagination, you see the process in her imagination, is incredible. God gave us that ability to do that stuff, and we need to start utilising it for what it really is, rather than thinking that it's the devil all the time. And the last part of the verse says, according to his power that is at work within us. According to the power that works within us. According to means in proportion to one's largest. And I'm not talking about in a stingy way. Not just a portion, but a proportion. If I'm a billionaire and I give you £10, I've gave you a portion. A very small portion of my riches. But if I give you £10 million, I've given you according to or more proportionate to my true wealth. And God wants to give us according to or more proportionate to his true wealth, to his true riches. God's not stingy. In Philippians 4:19 it says, according to his riches and glory. He wants to give you according to his riches, the riches that he stores up in glory. Everybody's heard of Rockefeller. And we've heard the term, or who do you think you are, Rockefeller? And Rockefeller used to give his caddy at golf, he used to give him a dime, which is a good thing. But God is not like Rockefeller. He gave his caddy a portion. God gives us a proportion. There's a vast difference. God's capacity to meet his people's needs far exceeds anything. And I'm not just talking financially here, that they can either request in prayer or conceive by way of anticipation. So whatever you can request, or whatever you can conceive by way of anticipation, God can give you humongously more than that. That's a strict theological term. Okay, just in case. God has revealed our immeasurable wealth in Christ, and he has led us to offer petition after petition for its realization. It's there. His vast riches are there waiting for us to tap into, but we don't tap into them. We don't tap into them properly. We don't do it in the right way and in the proper manner. He is willing and able to exceedingly give us more than we ask or imagine. Do you want to stand? When we're talking about this, it's easy to quantify this whole thing relating to money. Because we all need money. And money comes in handy. But it says that money is a root of all evil. It's not the root, it's a root of all evil. And a lot of people are too wrapped up in money. But as I say, it sometimes is the easiest way to describe what it is we're talking about. But God has incredible riches. Vast, vast riches that are not just financial. And they're for us. Because we're his kids. And it says that beyond what we can ever, immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. That's a lot. And we have only thus far asked for that wee cupful. If you've asked that much, you might only be at a teaspoon. And he has a whole ocean left to give us. But you have not because you ask not. And here's what I say to you. What do you need? What do you really need? Do you need humility? Because there's a vast amount of that there. Do you need honesty? There's a vast amount of that there. Do you need strength? Do you need the ability to endure? Because it's there, but you have not because you ask not. Do you need peace in your life? Because it's there for you. If only you will ask. Do you need love? Do you need joy in your life? Do you need compassion? Do you need patience? Faithfulness? Gentleness? Self-control? Do you need any of these things? Because if you need them, are you asking? Because you have not. Because you ask not. So here's my challenge. Because as much as I would love to do this, I can't do it for you. Because I don't know what you need. You know what you need. And this is going to look really weird. And this is going to look really strange. And this is going to sound really strange. But we just talked about using our imagination, didn't we? You know what you need. And what you need, God has for you. And he wants you to have it. And for you to have what he has for you, you need to reach out and take it and have ownership. And so, in light of the fact that we've just talked about apple trees, why don't we look at it like this? We're sheltered underneath this massive apple tree that the Lord has for us. And the apples on that apple tree are just portions of the vast riches that he has for us. And whatever your riches, whatever it is that you need is there for you. You just need to reach up and take it. And that might sound really weird and, oh, that's a visualization, that's new age. But let's steal that back. Let's use our imagination and say, okay, God, I really need some peace. or I really need some patience, I really need some humility, I really, whatever it is that you need, why don't you ask the Lord, Lord, would you give me this? I really need this. I passionately long for this. Would you give me this? And you might have asked for it a few times before, but have you persevered? Have you persisted? Have you importuned the Lord for this? Start importuning and just reach out and grab those apples. Grab what is hanging for the tree and just say, do you know what? They're no beyond reach. God isn't sick. God isn't dangling that apple or that carrot in front of you and just tugging it away from you to get you to keep going and keep grabbing and keep grabbing for what you can't get. It's there within your reach and you just need to reach out and take it. He says, do you know what? Out of the vastness of what I have for you, take it. Take it. But have you taken it? No. Have I taken it? No. Because we limit him. But he doesn't limit him. And he doesn't limit us. And he doesn't want to limit us. He wants to lift us up. Because as we are lifted up, who gets glorified? Him. And so that, what you need, is there for you to take, but you need to take it and realise that you have it and start walking in that which he has given you already. So whatever it is you need, I'm going to ask you to do this, and it is a wee bit like a visualisation technique, but I believe that it's the Lord that we just need to reach out and say, do you know what, I need this and take it. It's symbolic, but let's stop pussyfooting around. Let's stop being wet and wimpy Christians. Let's stop being doormats. Let's stop allowing people to walk over us. Let's stop people telling us God doesn't do this and God doesn't do that. Let's stop limiting God. Let's stop limiting ourselves and let's start taking what it is that he has for us. So you know what it is that you need. You know what it is that would be beneficial for you and what it is that you want and what it is that you have been asking God for or what you've been afraid to ask God for, and you need to stop being afraid. Don't be wrapped up in fear. And so if you know what it is you need, I encourage you. But I'm not going to that vineyard again. They're weird. They think there's a big apple tree above them and they all reach up their arms and they pull off these apples. Do you know what? Because we do that once, we don't build a theology on it. Does it show that anywhere in Scripture? No, it doesn't. But there's a lot of things that we do that they don't show in Scripture, and we still do it, and we have no objection to that. This is just simply a tool for us to understand that it's there. And we can reach it, and we can take it, because to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, beyond what you can imagine, inexhaustibly, whatever you can ask for, it's there. Whatever you can imagine, beyond that is there. And so if it's yours, I would encourage you, reach out and take it. Reach out and take it. If you need peace, reach out and take that. Peace. If you need passion in your life, reach out and take that. If you need joy, reach out and take it. Do you know, the joy of the Lord is my refuge. And if you are not in a place of joy where the Lord is surrounding you, you need joy in your life. So reach out and take it. Imagine you're underneath that apple tree. This is no some dodgy new age visualization technique. This is us using the imagination that God gave us. Reach out and take the joy that you need, that you so long for, that you richly deserve, because God created you in his image and he is joyful. Therefore, you should be joyful. So take the joy for the tree. Reach out and take it. Reach out and take the peace that you've longed for. Reach out and take the love that you have craved and that you want and that you want to show to other people. Reach out and take it. Have you been crying out to God? Oh God, I want to be able to speak in tongues. Reach out and take the gift of tongues. Take it and say, do you know what, Lord? I take that in faith. I take that now in Jesus' name. Whatever that thing is that you have cried out for, do you know what? We're longing for a building. I'm reaching out and I'm taking it. That is ours. And no matter what stands against us, we come against that right now in Jesus' name. We will not be lied to any longer. We will not be wrapped up in fear. We are no frightened of the wasps. The Apostle Paul picked up a snake and was bitten with it and it didn't harm him. We can get into sleeping bags with wasps and not be stung. Any weapon formed against us will not prosper. We are shielded by our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We are protected. We are underneath the shadow of the Lord's wing. We are protected. He is the shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. So Father, we accept your protection. We recognize your sovereignty. We recognize that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that any weapon formed against us will not prosper. And I pray, Father, that as we think of you as a gentle, tender, loving, caring God, that we would start to picture you also where your eyes are like flames of fire and you're roaring from the top of Mount Zion, and that you would be roaring in our defence right now in the name of Jesus. And the protection that we need, we reach out and we take that, we receive and we accept that protection right now in the name of Jesus. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would be like a shield of protection around us, a hedge. But we ask for your angels of light to watch over and protect us as well. Your word tells us that angels are ministering spirits, and we need them as well as you to come and fight this battle on our behalf. And we stand united now, and we say in the name of Jesus that we will not give up, we will not quit, we will not give in. And we ask now, Lord Jesus, for the strength and the endurance that we need to see this through in the name of Jesus. And whatever your circumstances, if you have been crying out to the Lord for healing, we speak healing to you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, your word says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse those who have leprosy. Freely you have received, freely give. So receive the healing. Be healed now in the name of Jesus. I speak to lower back pain and I command it to be gone right now in Jesus' name. I speak to joint pain. I speak to pain in the hips and the lower back and the knees, in the ankles, in the shoulders, in the elbows. I speak to fibromyalgia right now and I command it to stop and be gone right now in the name of Jesus. I speak to sickness in your stomach. I speak to stomach conditions and I command them to stop right now in Jesus' name. And we reach out and we take it in the name of Jesus. You who are able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. I ask for your healing right now in the name of Jesus for those who are sick, those who are in pain, those who have conditions, that your condition would be broken and gone right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we think and we can only imagine what it will be like to walk with our legs the same length. We can only imagine what it is like to bend down without back pain. We can only imagine what it is to see through our eyes without blindness. We can only imagine what it is to hear 100% through both ears in the name of Jesus. But Lord, would the imagination that you have blessed us with, would that now become a reality? We ask in the name of Jesus. So Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for your presence and for your peace, for the excitement that's in the room. And I pray now that we would forge ahead without fear. Lord, would you bless us? Would you protect us? Watch over our lives. Guard over our coming and our going.